Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And we welcome into Talking.Golf, Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato. End of April, we are sponsor free again today. So that gives us a chance to remind you that if you want to sponsor Talking.Golf or support any of the different things that we've got going here on Wisconsin.Golf, it's your opportunity to reach out to our marketing director, Megan Augustine, just by emailing Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. She can connect you with all sorts of advertising and sponsorship options here in our portfolio of products, as I like to call it, the Wisconsin.Golf website, the Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, and Golf Time Midwest magazine. And you can reach everyone on the WSGA membership list, as well as golf courses and the golfers throughout the upper Midwest, specifically here in Wisconsin. So again, M-E-G-A-N at KillarneyGolfMedia.com. That's Megan Augustine, and she will take care of you. On that note, Gary D'Amato, welcome in. We are recording this on a Friday. It was going to be much later on a Friday. I was gonna blow off the bucks and in favor of recording the podcast. But much like everyone back in Wisconsin, we're getting wind here in Arizona. And after about seven holes of golfing and gale force wind, I said enough is enough. And Gary D'Amato, we're not going to belabor the weather talk, but boy, oh boy, there was the two-day invite over at Black Wolf Run and Whistling Straits and Kohler on the high school level, and I was getting video from coaches with flag sticks basically almost snapping in half. What's going on, my friend? What's going on?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know, Rob. We had a nice day temperature-wise yesterday, but like you said, the wind – I played nine holes yesterday and couldn't keep my ball on the planet. It was just blowing all over the place. And then today we get, I don't know – I'd say 2 inches of rain in here in southeastern Wisconsin. Tomorrow's supposed to be a nice day again, but really windy. So we've just, you know, we've been blessed with some really good springs in recent years where you could play a lot of golf in April. And this isn't one of them this year. It's been rough.
And I should preface I'm just lucky there's someone on the other end of this podcast, because when Gary came aboard the Zoom, he was saying it rained biblical proportions at the headquarters in Caledonia. And Moses, I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah, I feel like Moses today, Rob. I'll tell you. Yeah, it's there's every bit of grass is just completely waterlogged in this part of the state, and I can't imagine. I mean, yesterday even I was getting mud balls, and every ball I hit at Ives Grove, certainly not the superintendent's fault. It's just been really wet. And so I can't imagine that over the next few days, even tomorrow, people who will go out and play golf are going to be slogging through some really wet turf.
Well, when you play in the wind, there are some good signs. And I totally rode the downwind bandwagon before I called it quits. First drive of the day on a 317-yard short par four came to rest 10 yards in front of the green. So 307 looked pretty good, as I noted it on the card. And then 520 par five downwind, straight downwind too, Gary. Driver five iron, the five iron from 195 to the back of the green, two putt birdie. Those are the highlights. We won't talk about the last hole dead into the wind. It just felt like it was hitting into one of those glass walls, but yet it was I wasn't breaking the glass. It was bouncing off and coming back at me. It just you get to that point and you're wondering, you know, what's next? I didn't really want to find out. I figured I'd get my golf cart on a hill and I'd probably topple it over in the wind.
Too bad it wasn't a links course where they all go one way, Rob. You could play all the downwind holes in a row and then just quit after a bunch of Bryson D. Hernandez drives.
That's right. That's right. I could feign injury and say, I got to go. Gotta go find the 19th hole. I mean, the medical tent. But yeah. So we're not going to grouse too much about the weather here. And especially because, you know, there's always silver linings and everything. And clearly one of the silver linings to the iffy weather back in Wisconsin is the fact that all of you are checking out the website. And this week, people in large, large numbers checked out a story that really, I think, piqued people's interest, Gary D'Amato. Your story on the hockey stick putter. We didn't even tease it last week on Talking.Golf. And it has over 11,000 page views. this week alone, one of the most read stories on our site in a long, long time. And I think part of it is the picture on the top there. It's three different putter heads with this really, anyone who's played hockey and golf is wondering what the heck's going on here. It is a hockey stick. I mean, it is a, you know, a square handled, you know, shaft. And from the top right down to just above the neck of the putter. And I think people are interested. Are you interested, Gary? Is this something that you'd ever use? What makes this so unique?
Well, yeah, those are all good questions, Robert. You know, that the brothers who invented this, Tim and Chip Wright, Knotions, have a hockey background, and they came up with the idea of marrying a hockey shaft to a putter head. But they couldn't call it a shaft because the USGA rules state that, you know, basically a shaft has to be cylindrical. It has to deflect in all directions, which means round. So the way they got away with it is they're calling the entire hockey stick the grip. So you can have a grip that is square, or, you know, we've all seen grips that have, you know, a straight side, irregular shapes. And so they're calling this entire length of the, I guess you, most people would call it the shaft, but they're calling it the grip. And it is a grip because, Rob, you can grip it like a hockey stick, like you're going to shoot a, you know, slap shot with one hand considerably below the other. And I tried it, and it feels really, really good. And if you remember Sam Snead, he sort of putted similar, you know, a side saddle way where he got on the side of the ball and was facing the hole. And that's sort of what you do with this thing. But you're right. I don't know why it's gotten so much attention. I guess maybe it shows there's a lot of people out there who need help with their putting.
Well, I think yes. And let me start the line and everybody fall in behind, because I just, you know, you mentioned the grips that we're seeing. I've got a Super Stroke grip on my putter. It's an old Ping Darby, and I'm trying to get it so that it fits comfortably in the hand where I can, you know, I'm not going to break the wrist. I'm not, you know, where it's going to feel like my hand is the back of that putter. And this feels, or looks like, you know, based on the pictures that we ran with your story, this looks like the same concept, but all the way down the club. And then it brings into, you know, into account different styles of putting. Now, can you still putt side saddle? Is that legal?
Yes, you cannot putt pro K style. You can't straddle your line, but you can still putt side saddle.
Got it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Rob, because your hand is flat against this rectangular grip, and it just feels like the putting motion just feels like you're sort of rocking your shoulders and pushing your right hand for a right-handed golfer toward the hole. And it's a different feel entirely than having two hands on a round grip up high, where you can get your wrist really involved, which a lot of people do, including me, unfortunately. This takes your wrist out of it, and it's just rocking your shoulders sort of in that hockey. Imagine shooting a slap shot, but only a 10-foot slap shot instead of winding up and really killing it. And that's sort of the motion you're using. So it's really interesting. Plus, you see the line a lot better. You know, you're looking down the line instead of having your head sort of perpendicular to the line. So it's fascinating. I think these guys are onto something, and I think they're probably going to sell a lot of these things, is my guess.
So the picture, or the putter that we see in the picture that's with your story with the two-ball putter on the bottom, is that any taller than a normal putter? I mean, we're not talking 48 inch up to your chin like Bernhard Langer, are we?
No, the shafts come at 40 inches, and he can cut them down to any size. And then, of course, they have these adapters now. They came up with that can adapt to virtually any kind of putter head. So you add the adapter and the putter head, and I guess technically it could be as long as maybe 46, 47 inches, but you really wouldn't want it that long because it'd be jabbing you in the sternum, and you can't ground your, you know, you can't put your putter against any part of your body anyway. So,
right.
So you cut it down to the length you want. What you do is you buy the putter head or send him one of your old putters. He takes the head off and puts it on the stick, and no charge for that. The hockey sticks themselves are $250. So, which is sort of in line with, you know, most with good putters these days. And then he takes care of the rest. He puts the putter head on the putter at no charge, on the stick at no charge.
That makes sense because I just bought a softball bat for the league I play in. It, I think it was 260, and I'm not sure I paid that much for my driver in the bag, but you know, you do get what you pay for, and I think hockey sticks have evolved to where it's the same kind of, you know, even though with a putter you're not buying it for the, you know, I think the, you know, the technology, the whatever the what it's made of, you like the feel of it, but at the same time, in order to arrive at that feel, it's got to feel pretty nice in your hand, and you're not going to do that with an old wooden hockey stick, that's for sure.
No, these are carbon fiber, you know, state-of-the-art hockey sticks that they buy in bulk, and then they apply their own paint, you know, paint scheme, paint job on them, and they're a little bit tackified, so it feels really nice in your hands. It's not slippery, and it just feels natural when you grip it, like, okay, this is the way it's supposed to feel when I grip a putting instrument. So, you know, they're onto something, you know, whether they sell, you know, a trickle of them or whether they make a huge dent in the putting, which is a multi-million dollar segment of the golf club equipment industry, Rob, remains to be seen. But I think they're going to have some success with this.
Well, I think so. And then just looking at your picture that you took of Tim Wright demonstrating the putter in the lab there, the putter at that height, who does that remind you of? I can tell you, it reminds me of Andy North.
Andy North, yeah.
When he opens with what, maybe a 20-inch putter?
Yeah, that always looked funny. I thought he was hunched over so far. Or Michelle Wee for a while went through that phase where right. She was bent at a 90-degree angle over the putter. But yeah, it's not quite that extreme. And it's a comfort level, right? You could have one hand slightly below your left hand for a right-handed golfer, or you could have your right hand way down just above the putter head. It just depends how comfortable you feel and where you feel like you're going to get that best, you know, repeatable motion.
So they had to go through all the Zoom calls with the USA. This was a long process. I mean, I obviously you just can't, you can't, you know, snap your fingers, wave a magic wand and come up with a, you know, a new concept for an old piece of equipment, the putter. I mean, it's been there since, you know, Persimmon Woods and the Niblets and the old clubs in the bag. So, I mean, boy, patience had to be a virtue for these guys.
I think they were working on it for 3 years, Rob, and you're right. A lot of Zoom calls with the USGA equipment people. And at first they were calling it a shaft and the USGA was telling them, no, it's not a shaft. Can't be a shaft because it's rectangular. And so they thought, well, what if we call it a grip, which is what it is, actually. Yeah. The entire hockey stick is the grip. The shaft, the round shaft actually runs the length of the hockey stick inside it. So the grip, think of your grip on your putter just extending down to the hosel, and that's basically what this is. And yeah, they showed me the letter that the USGA did deem it conforming to the rules of golf. So I saw the letter, so I know it does conform. So you can use it in tournaments.
Unbelievable. So it begs the question, this is the first story that you and Dennis have written about, you know, these kind of entrepreneurs in Wisconsin who just happen to get in the golf biz. It's great for our business when there's this Wisconsin connection, because then it fits right into what we're writing about. But how do these guys, you know, approach you, and how would someone maybe do this for whatever idea they have to make golf better?
Yeah, those are good questions, Rob. You know, actually, UW Parkside's coach, Tyler Wahlberg, I met him a couple months ago when they opened the Mark Olson Indoor Golf Center for the golf team at UW Parkside. I met Tyler, and he just emailed me and said, hey, just want to let you know about these guys. You know, they came up with this hockey stick putter, and I thought it sounded interesting. I had no idea it would turn into a story that would get 11,000 page views. You know, at first I thought, well, it might be something for Sweet Spot, but turned out to be a little bigger story than that. And, you know, these guys have entrepreneurial genes. Rob, they're Tim Wright was telling me his great grandfather started A.O. Smith, which is a huge company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got that kind of background of inventors in their family. So, you know, I don't know how you get started with something like this. You got to have time on your hands. You have to have an idea that you're willing to pursue and not worry about getting turned down or whatever. And then Chip Wright, who I didn't meet, is sort of the sorcerer. He's the one who goes out and buys all the hockey sticks. And so, you know, right now they're working out of the Tim's wife has a dental practice in Kenosha, and their office is in the back. It was funny when I met Tim, he ushered me through the dental. I mean, there's people in dental chairs, and we go to the back office and there's the hockey putter. It's pretty cool though. It's a nice little story.
Well, I think for you and me, you know, putting is like a trip to the dentist sometimes. So.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's appropriate. Why not? Well, I forgot that, you know, you mentioned in your story that Super Stroke, the oversized putting grips that we all use, invented by Harold Relke of Elm Grove. And, you know, again, just happened, you know, be, you know, used by a guy who, you know, KJ Choi, who saw one on an infomercial well, you know, I mean, we've seen Andy North, hawking the square strike club that, you know, you can use to, you know, amateurs use to try to deal with those shots that sometimes lead to a little bit of a flinch around the green, you know, the short shifts. I mean, there's a lot of great ideas out there, and there's a lot of great ideas waiting to happen too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, equipment, every year there's something new that comes out, maybe not as quite as dramatic as the hockey stick putter, but everyone's looking for that edge, Rob, including me. And that's why I'm going to send in fact, I've already been on eBay looking for old putters that I can, maybe I can get an old putter with a putter head, a two ball putter head, maybe that's in good shape, and ship it down to Tim and have him make me up a putter. Who knows?
I kind of think that the two ball putter with the hockey stick grip would be, might be the, what, the lightning bolt moment. I mean, it's more than just a light bulb moment. It would be a lightning bolt moment if it can lead to more than one putt around for those of us who struggle on the greens. Well, that's awesome. I mean, any idea what the next thing on the horizon is equipment wise that way? You don't have anything else lurking out there that could help our games, do you?
I don't, but I'm always looking. So I'm not only for our readers, but for myself, Rob. Heck, so if anyone out there has come up with some kind of new product or gimmick or idea, let us know. And, you know, who knows, we might write about it.
Absolutely. And so since we are spending the end of this month, hawking our email addresses, that's GaryD@KillarneyGolfMedia.com. GaryD@KillarneyGolfMedia.com. If you've got the next great thing in the game of golf, send it his way. If it gets too close to the tournament season, we might pass it along to Dennis McCann or somebody else. But we're happy to write about those things because, I mean, those really do move the needle. And I think, you know, too, being, you know, that we're in a hockey hotbed like Wisconsin, you know, we've got a lot of kids playing high school hockey and high school golf. It's a natural.
Yeah.
And I played a lot of pro-ams with, you know, guys like Gary Shuchuk out of Madison, the former Badger hockey player. Well, former Badger hockey coach Jeff Sauer played a number of rounds with him out at Maple Bluff Country Club. And those drivable par fours to start the round at 1 and 10, you know, all he did was take a half a swing. And we, you know, in some sports, they'll call that a slap shot. In golf, they just call it a short backswing. And next thing you know, we're walking up there and he's 10 yards short of the green. So, you know, it really, those two sports really have a great marriage together. And it's neat to see someone in Wisconsin doing it with a piece of equipment like a putter.
Yeah. You know, you talk about hockey players and, you know, a lot of them do make good golfers because that's a very similar motion. The snap of the wrist, the quick hip turn to get the puck flying is the same thing you need to in golf, basically, to get that golf ball flying. So you do see a lot of good hockey players turn golfers or vice versa.
And so when a guy like you writes such a great story like that gets so much attention, other things you write in the course of a week tend to get overlooked. I thought your 10 must-haves for golfers as we, start to, the season, it was almost like our Christmas wish list. Anything you want to highlight on that story, Gary, that might have gotten overlooked that you thought, hey, you know, this might be something that everybody could use?
Maybe it's not something that everyone could use, Rob, but one of the last item maybe in that story was this guy named Andy Bartel from Sheboygan, who does this beautiful engraving art of golf courses. You tell him which golf course you want engraved on wood, and he's a cartographer, he's a map maker. He goes to Google Earth and gets the image of the course. He laser engraves the course on wood, and then he hand paints, the fairways, tees, and bunkers. and he personalizes it. You can have, you know, if you made a hole in one somewhere at a course, or, you know, you want, you know, an anniversary date or anything you want, all the personalization is free. And these, it's a very, very handsome wall art then that you hang on your wall in your office or your, you know, and it's really good looking stuff. And this guy, I met him at the Milwaukee Golf Show, Rob. He had a lot of interest around his booth because he displayed a number of these golf courses that he had done, and they're really, really nice looking artwork, actually.
Yeah, and to Gary's point, he's not, you know, drawing the holes as you'd be looking at him from the fairway. It's from above, and it's kind of like the map on a scorecard. And then of course, like with Whistling Straits, the Lake Michigan, you know, they're kind of in the background, but, you know, you get an idea, especially if it's a favorite course. I would think that'd be kind of fun, Gary, because, you know, it's always fun to kind of look at the routing and go, oh yeah, you know, 10 through 12 go out towards the lake. And then, you know, 13, 14 run, you know, here and there. I think it's pretty cool. I see Oakmont was another one that he had there at the golf show in your picture. And, you know, I know that that's one that you got to play that, I'm sure you wouldn't mind having that hang in the shrine there at the Caledonia headquarters.
Yeah, his artwork is not inexpensive. I think it's $345. Shipping is free and personalization is free. Any kind of customization you want done to it is free. But for someone, you know, you can buy all kinds of golf wall art, but this is really unique, and you can have it personalized, which makes it special, because it's not something you can just go on eBay and just buy. You can order it through Andy, and he'll do whatever you want done on the plaque in terms of words or numbers, anything you want done that way. And it's good looking stuff. He does a really nice job.
So as we wait for winter to finally depart, as we wait for the rain to subside, and I don't want Gary to go from Noah or from Moses to Noah, take a few minutes and read about the hockey stick butter and then the 10 must-haves for the season. Another one that's kind of a cute story is our friend Dennis McCann, who spends much of his year when he's here in Wisconsin, up way up in Bayfield, in the very northern tip of the state. He's spending this month down in Florida and getting his golf fix down there. So read about how a guy from Bayfield, what it's like to winter, at least for a month down in the Sunshine State. And that's another one that we plucked from the Wisconsin Golfer magazine that the WSGA just put out this week as well. So with that, we should mention too that Talking.Golf, sponsor free today. We are in between sponsors. We thank the great people over at Elite Sport and Spine for their sponsorship here in the first quarter of 2022. They've done wonders, I understand, with Gary D'Amato's golf game. But we're also finding, Gary, that you can only do so much indoors. We need good weather for you to be able to you know, kind of, you know, get out there, flex on the first tee, and then start unleashing your bombs, right? Is that what we're waiting for?
That's what we're shooting for, Rob. We can only hope. But, you know, before we go any farther, Rob, we need to talk a little bit about something you wrote, and that was your really good story on Caden Naum, who is going to attend South Carolina Aiken, correct?
Yeah, recruiting story. And you know, again, we've spoken here on Talking.Golf about how difficult it's become for, you know, kids to kind of get noticed and then find a good fit because of COVID, because of extra eligibility and, you know, all those things factored into it. But the neat thing here is, you know, Caden Naum, you know, I first, you know, I think a lot of us first saw the name when he was one of those kids that I think, Gary, you wrote about him, you know, going down to the drive chip and putt national finals at Augusta National. And, you know, Caden's dad, Peter, was a golf pro for a long time up in Minocqua at Minocqua Country Club. And now owns the distillery up in Minocqua. So he's segued into a great second career. But a great family. And Caden, you know, was, again, we talk about the impact of drive, chip, and putt, not just in the competition of it, but Gary, you know, this is a kid who went down to Augusta National, fell in love with that part of the country, and now he's going to be going to school a half hour away in Aiken, South Carolina. And I didn't mention it too much in the story, but, you know, their home course down there is a course that Palmetto Golf Club that was redesigned already in the early or late 20s by Alistair McKenzie with leftover, you know, features that weren't used down the road at Augusta National. So I think Caden's found himself a gem of a place to go play, and that he was drawn to him because they were the number two ranked team in Division II at the time that he started his search. They're now number seven as we near the NCAA Division II regionals. And I don't know how I would go about a college search in this day and age when you almost have to eliminate the top schools on your wish list, unless you're again Pearson Hunt, Harrison Ott. You're not going to be able to walk into Wisconsin, Marquette, Illinois, or Vanderbilt and say, what do you got for me? You know, so a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I watched Caden win the WSJ boys junior last year and really impressed with his game, his demeanor on course. I thought he had a total package, so it's not surprising that he wound up at a pretty good golf school. And Rob, I've played Palmetto 1 year after the Masters. I got an invite to play there. It's really a phenomenal old school with the gravel parking lot, you know, kind of deal. You feel like you're stepping back, you know, 100 years in time when you go there. And it's a course that's going to really, I think, help his game because, you know, you've got to hit every shot there and you've got to have a good short game there. It's like you said, it's a lot like a sort of a poor man's Augusta National. It's a cool place.
Well, and it was funny because when I was searching the, you know, looking up the course, where I got to check this out here. So Palmetto Golf Club will be open to the public Masters week from Sunday, April 3rd through Monday, April 11th. And they begin taking tee times on January 1st. The cost, including cart, range balls, lunch, and all taxes, Gary, $1,400.
Woo! I guarantee I didn't pay that when I played it, Rob.
So, And you're probably right when it's a poor man's Augusta National, but man, it's still a rich man's courts. I can't believe I just about fell over when I saw that. But again, and that's the, you know, they're the home course for USC Aiken, and you know, Caden really put some great thought into it. And you know, he did have conversations with Marquette and Wisconsin, but you know, after talking to, you know, the other story I think we've written maybe since we talked last, or I guess we mentioned it last week on talking.golf, was the fact that Clayton Tribu coming back, you know, after as a grad transfer to Wisconsin next year. And then Max Schwarz of Emory University, a Division III power, you know, they played, I think it was their conference tournament last weekend, or their own invitational last weekend. And the kid had 10 birdies in a 500 par 67. And wow. So those are the kind of golfers that are available now to the Division I coaches. And you throw that in the mix, and it's almost hard to, you know, not consider them over, you know, a kid, you know, that you might have to develop. Now, I don't think Caden's going to take a lot of development, but he even said in his email interview with us that, you know, he needs help with, you know, a lot of his putting inside 10 feet, and then just accuracy off the tee, and feels that the coach at Aiken, who's been there for 25 years, it's in the Golf Coaches Association of America Hall of Fame, you know, we'll be able to get him there. The guy's name down there, it escapes me. But, you know, I mean, it really, Mike Carlisle at Aiken, and Mike, you know, has, you know, had a number of, you know, guys go on to play professional golf. I don't know if he's had too many get on the, you know, PGA Tour, stay on the tour, but, you know, I mean, South Carolina is a hotbed for golf. And, I think Caden's going to thoroughly enjoy himself down there.
Yeah, and you know, his the advice, you had a little a box insert in your story on Caden's recruiting advice, and I thought that was really some mature thoughts by him on the recruiting process and to make sure you have a good relationship with the coach. In addition to the program and the school and the golf course, you've got to like playing for your coach, and I thought that was some really good advice by him.
So, and it segues well into our next topic here on Talking.Golf, college golf. We're into the conference championship time. And you know, one of the guys I mentioned, Harrison Ott, you know, a generational golfer in Wisconsin. And he is, you know, really the embodiment of all that's, you know, stressful about college golf right now. He's playing the number four spot for Vanderbilt, the number three ranked team in the country right now. They win the stroke play portion of the SEC championship today down at St. Simon Island, Georgia. He shoots 72. they counted one of the two, Reed Davenport, their number three golfer, also shot that. But, you know, they've got about six guys that are all, you know, in that mix that could be in the lineup. And they had Gordon Sargent and Cole Sherwood finish 2-3, and they were able to hold off Texas A&M. Florida, which shot 269 in the second round, comes back with a 277, and they finish another shot back at 828, four shots off the pace. Can you imagine? I mean, I know this is why Harrison Ott went to Vanderbilt, because and a lot of the guys that I've talked to, the kids that I've talked to that have, you know, done these recruiting things where they want to go, where they get challenged. I don't know of anyone who's ever been more challenged coming out of Wisconsin than Harrison Ott in that program at Vanderbilt over 4 years. You know, he was out of the lineup at the SEC championships last year during the stroke play, came back for match play, helped Vanderbilt get the automatic berth out of the SEC, and then he's out of the lineup again for regionals. But it's all of that has conspired to make him a better golfer. But it's hard. It's, you know, in this generation where, you know, so much is handed to, you know, kids, you know, that's kind of our old man get off my lawn type of, you know, approach to it. But I mean, I have to tip my hat to what Harrison Ott has done. And it'll be interesting to see if they make any changes. I don't think they will. I think that's a solid lineup. But, I mean, you have to be impressed with what you're seeing out of Harry Ott.
Well, Rob, I think that's why you see so many players from big-time golf programs, the Oklahoma States, the Vanderbilts, the, you know, Texas, Houston, and down in Florida. You see so many of those guys go on to success on the PGA Tour because they're so well prepared for that pressure. You know, I can't imagine there's greater pressure on you know, on a golfer, non-professional golfer, than being in a big time college Division I program and fighting for every scrap you get with against a very talented lineup who are your teammates, but you're trying to beat them so you earn a spot in the lineup. I think that kind of pressure bodes well for when you do turn professional and you know, and take that next step on your journey, because you're prepared to fight for everything you get.
I'm kind of excited too, and partly, you know, selfishly, I know that the NCAA championships are down here in Scottsdale, and I think Vanderbilt has a really good shot at winning the whole thing with that. Yeah. Harrison will be in the lineup tomorrow. They just posted the tee times for the first round of match play. Vanderbilt will take on Mississippi State, and Harrison is in that lineup. But I mean, you would think that given all that competition that they've gone through internally throughout the year, that nothing will faze them as they get to regionals. And then it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that nothing like the elements or, you know, an injury or something flukish will derail them. I really like, and I mean, we haven't had, Nick Gilliam was an individual NCAA champion. He grew up in Green Bay, but, you know, we haven't had a lot of those guys. I mean, we've had, Jordan Niebrugge at Oklahoma State, you know, was on a, you know, on championship teams, and Casey Danielson at Stanford. But, you know, I mean, this is rare territory when we get a kid from Wisconsin who's in a program that has that opportunity.
It is for sure, Rob. And then closer to home school wise, we've got, you know, the Big East championship coming up, conference championship coming up this next week, and the Big Ten later in the week. So we've got Marquette and Wisconsin going. And, you know, I had a really nice chat with Hunter Eichhorn, Marquette's number one man, and his coach, Steve Bailey, today. We'll have a story on Monday leading, sort of advancing the Big East. But, yeah, opportunities closer to home for some of these guys in these programs to make their mark. And Hunter's played in NCAA regionals before. The team has, too, a couple of years ago when they won the Big East. And they've got a good shot, I think, to win it again this week, Rob.
And that'll start Monday down at Callaway Gardens Resort in Pine Mountain, Georgia, the Big East Championship for men Monday through Wednesday. Right now, the Big East Women's Championship going on there. Gabby Tremblay of Hayward competing for Creighton. They are third as a team after 2 days, everybody chasing Xavier. Horizon League will be starting at Sunday through Tuesday down in just outside Orlando at Howie in the Hills, Florida. I believe they're going back there this year. And, of course, the Badger men have their conference championship coming up at, I believe that's down at French Lick again. And that's a great place to have a conference tournament. You know, some of these conference tournaments, you're going so far away that you're going from familiar grass to foreign grass. But that's I don't think that's not the case with French Lick, is it?
No, you know, and I believe that Charlie Danielson, I think, won the Big Ten there, Casey's brother, when he was at Illinois. And I just played the Pete Dye course at French Lick, Rob, on my way home from the Masters. And that is all the golf course anyone could want to handle. It's a brutal, brutal test of golf. And so I didn't look. Is the Big Ten there for sure this year? I've kind of lost track of where they're going.
It is. They're saying Friday, next Friday through Sunday, which I guess is possible for the men, because I don't think their selection show is until a week from Monday. The women's selection show, I believe, is Wednesday. So all these conference championships have to be wrapped up by then. We'll update you on the Badger women here after day one of the Big Tens in a second. But they're really strung out over a long period of time. It's not like I guess it is a lot like college basketball. Some of those conference tournaments for basketball are all television driven. So you get those, you know, some of those are done, you know, a week before, a week and a half before the Big Ten closes the show too.
Where are the women playing the Big Ten? They had their first round today, correct?
They did. And they're playing out at Fox Chapel Golf Club in Pittsburgh. And the Badger women currently in a tie for 10th. They shot 299 today. Led by the duo of Emily Lauterbach and actually Emily was the only one who finished inside the top 20 for a while. Vanessa Ho, the number one golfer, a freshman, was in the mix there, but finished bogey to slide back a little bit. So Emily Lauterbach out of Heartland is 72, 75 from Chloe Chan. She's T40. They're playing a play six count four format here, Gary. So the number six golfer, Gia Feliciano, shoots 76, and she counts as the number four scorer along with Vanessa Ho. So Mackenzie Hahn had it going for a while early in the front nine, but kind of got derailed by a triple bogey at number 10. She shot 79, and Nicole Sosowski of Illinois, state of Illinois product, 77. Currently Michigan State leading at 282. So you're talking about a 17-shot difference between first place and 10th place. The Badgers currently tied with Minnesota. But they're going to have to really I saw on Golf Channel this week they were predicting you'd have to be ranked in the top 40 to get an at-large berth, and the Badgers are, I believe, just inside the top 100. So anything short of a victory, I think, will end the season for Coach Todd Erline's Badgers.
Yeah, Fox Chapel too, Rob. I talked to our old friend Gary Van Sickle, who lives in the Pittsburgh area. I was talking to him at the Masters, and he was telling me that Fox Chapel is every bit as good as Oakmont, you know, a course that gets way more publicity and has held major championships. But Fox Chapel is supposedly a really, really good test of golf. So
well, to that point, Gary, I mean, it's a par 71 layout at 6,045 yards, according to GolfStat, which, you know, at the Division I level is not a real hefty yardage. Typically, they play closer to 6,200, but only one team under par, and that was Michigan State with a 282. So I think that speaks to the, you know, how tough that course is. And, you know, a lot of you go on the East course and it's all tight, tree lined and greens that you're wondering, boy, oh, boy, when were these invented, right?
Yeah, I don't know who designed Fox Chapel, but I've heard so many good things about it. That's another one on the bucket list, Rob. Hopefully we'll get there someday.
We also have a number of golfers competing in the Northern Sun Intercollegiate Women's Championship at the Division II level. Currently, Minnesota State out of Mankato with Sam Solier of Wanakee and Megan Cook out of Union Grove in the lineup. They are second, but a very distant second to Augustana, South Dakota. Augustana, South Dakota, a 306. Minnesota State, Mankato, at 331. And there's a good chance that, you know, multiple teams in the Division II level, you know, in Division I and Division II, you're competing to get into regional format. At the Division III level, you win your conference, you go directly to the national championship, which is nice because you're treated like royalty down there. But at the same time, you know, if you don't win that conference championship, and in a lot of cases, a lot of years, you have two really good teams in the WIAC or the CCIW, and, you know, good teams stay back. But, you know, I'm told that the coaches at the Division III level say that None of the schools would have the money to finance that with a regional concept and the number of teams, and especially at this time of year when there's so many other things going on around campus in terms of awards banquets and final exams. And I know that a lot of these national championships, kids are bringing books along and professors to proctor exams on the road. So it's a much more complicated time of the year for the golfers, but really a fun time of the year for us, because it is like our March Madness, following these college golfers through the conference tournaments and then on to the regionals and national championships.
Yeah, sometimes I forget that they're student athletes, Rob. I just think of the golf component. And obviously they're worried about school too, and get, especially at all levels, but especially at the Division III level, where they're not going to go on to professional careers and have no hope of doing that. They're going to go on to careers, real careers, with what they, learned in their books at school. So I forget about that sometime. I just tend to look at the golf part of it. How many college athletes, student athletes do we have from the state of Wisconsin, Rob, at all levels playing golf? It's got to be more than 100, I would think.
Oh yeah. I think active, probably, I'm going to guess close to 200 men. When you include all the Division III levels, the junior colleges, and then, probably 150 women. It's a pretty good number. I mean, you're talking about most of the rosters of the Division III schools in Wisconsin are all Wisconsin. In fact, the entire men's and women's rosters at UW Green Bay with Coach Lee Reinke, are all Wisconsin born. And so there's a lot. And you're right. It's kind of neat to see, the impact that the junior golf programs have had here. And there seem to be a lot of kids going on to play college golf from the 2022 class. And we'll have more of the recruiting stories like Caden's coming up here in the next week. I wanted to get your take, though. You mentioned that they're student athletes. And I think for a long time, that was something that we, it was a title that didn't really have too much, to alter it. But did you see who signed a name, image, likeness agreement this week with a certain restaurant chain?
Oh, yeah. John Daly's kid, right?
Yeah. Little John the Pooters.
Well, Hooters, John Daly, Big John Daly did all right with Hooters as a sponsor. So I guess they don't call him Little John anymore. He's not very small. But that's pretty cool that you can sign an NIL with Hooters after your dad did.
Yeah. So there's that. That's the best one. That's the best one I've seen. I think I saw. There is a gal playing either at UCLA or San Jose State, I believe, who is one of the who's making a ton of money on NIL, and this thing continues to. And then I see that the Badgers, UW-Madison now has an online portal where if you have a company and you want to get some of your these college athletes to get behind your company, it could be this. This putter company, they just go into this portal and describe the product and then the athletic department will, if it fits, they'll, go to the student athlete and pitch the idea, and there may be NIL money involved. So it's a whole new world, my friend.
Well, golfers, not too many golfers, I think, are getting rich in college off NIL, but I'll tell you what, college football, I see Braylon Allen, commercials all the time with him advertising Iron Jack. Here's a guy who's going to be a sophomore, at Wisconsin, running back.
Yeah.
And so he's got a nice contract apparently with Iron Jack. I see his commercials all the time. So if you're a stud college football or basketball player, you got a chance to make some real money, through the NIL.
Yeah. Well, and I heard something, Jordan Davis and Johnny Davis, Johnny, of course, going to the NBA. So, the NIL will soon change to endorsement money, but apparently they've got some sort of deal with one of the local Pepsi distributors, and they were signing autographs at Hy-Vee in Madison last week.
Wow.
You remember the years where you'd jab your guy and your buddy in the side and say, what's Duke doing over to become so good at basketball? Hey, they got to be paying those guys. Well, now, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
I just saw, this is a little bit off subject, but I just watched a 2-hour 30 for 30 on ESPN on Marcus Dupree, the great running back.
Oh, yeah.
Came out of a little town, Philadelphia, Mississippi, and the offers, I mean, he had college recruiters literally living in Philadelphia for 3 months trying to recruit him. And I can't imagine what he was offered, because he was maybe the best high school running back ever. Didn't pan out, you know, lasted only 1 year at Oklahoma, and then, you know, had a very brief pro career and got hurt. But he was an amazing, amazing running back in high school. We're off topic, but yeah, like you said, those guys were getting tons of cash thrown at them back then.
And we can go as far off topic as you want, Gary, because if we go back on topic, all I'm going to tell you is that the first round of the UW-Whitewater Women's Invitational down at Janesville Riverside was postponed, canceled, because they're not going to replay it. It's going to be an 18-hole event tomorrow at Riverside because of, our friend the weather. And it all circles back to that. They played a tournament up in New London today. We're going to have results from that on our site, a high school tournament. But, you see the pictures of these kids with their plaques after the tournaments. Then you're looking at, trying to count layers, how many layers is that fleece or is that really waterproof? I mean, come on. And because you're trying to, you're trying to either battle the wind, the cold, or you throw in the rain. And in your biblical proportion rainfall, I'm guessing that we won't see many results from southern Wisconsin today.
Well, Rob, I'm supposed to play on Thursday, this coming Thursday, and we're taping this on Friday night, so not less than a week away. I'm playing in that 100-hole marathon at the Bog, and I just looked at the extended forecast, high of 40, low of 40, 32, high of 45 on Thursday. I'll be wearing numerous layers, Rob, trying to play 100 holes of golf.
And we should mention, how can people get behind you? The 100 holes, what is the cause, and how can people support your efforts?
Yeah, they can go to justgiving.com and type in my name, search my name, and they'll come up. My page will come up where they can pledge, and the money all goes to the MAC Fund, a great cause. And Rob, I'm also doing a random drawing for anyone who contributes to my cause to the MAC Fund through my page. I'm going to do a drawing the day before on Wednesday, and the lucky winner who contributes and his name is drawn is going to win a platinum passport, which has $3,500 worth of free golf on some of Wisconsin's best golf courses. So, pledge 25 or 50 bucks on to the MAC Fund through my clause, and have a chance to win a lot of free golf at some great courses in Wisconsin.
And you pledge to Gary's cause, and at some point, if you ever run into Mike Bilowski, you're going to get a big hug. That's all I know.
Absolutely, yeah. Bilo, got to love him.
That might be worth more than the platinum passport. No, not really. I think no offense, Bilo, but that's great. I it's great that you're doing that. I don't like that forecast. We'll try to push some of the warm weather your way, but
please.
That's getting pretty nasty. Gary, I think we're just about out of time. We've hawked your email. Mine's rob@killarneygolfmedia.com. If you've got any story ideas, if you look at our recruiting list and we don't have a school next to a name, feel free to reach out. Give me a shout out and say, I think this kid's going here, and I'll reach out and we'll ask them. We just send them a list of questions, and they kind of describe their recruiting experience to them, much like Caden Nam did as far as going to South Carolina Aiken. And college coaches love it, Gary, because it brings attention to their programs and the recruiting process, because it's changed quite a bit over especially the last couple years. But then I think other families also benefit because, they probably got kids that are going through the same thing and need to kind of counsel their own kids about, okay, you're not getting this offer, you're not hearing back from this coach, you might need to find another one. It's a lot of the stuff that Caden pointed out in his story. And also, we continue to update our course listings. A whole bunch opened Thursday, most likely given the biblical proportion rainfalls that Gary was describing. They're not opening Friday, Saturday. Might open Sunday again, but we continue to open those. It's been a very strange year for course openings. A lot of courses open, then unable to mow the grass. And for those that try to give the golf experience, that's kind of an awkward situation. Be patient with these golf courses. They're trying their best to get open and stay open, but Mother Nature not cooperating. And then it seems as though if you go up all the way up I-94 to Superior, and then take, 53 up to Superior, You can find open golf courses all the way up to the Nemadji Golf Course in Superior, but yet you go over towards Minocqua, St. Germain, and they're still dealing with snow and ice on the lake. So we've had a very strange year, Gary D'Amato, for course openings.
The good news, Rob, is that May is a little more than a week away, and they've got to be open in May, right? They just have to be. So everything's going to open at some point in May.
We've been teasing this whole thing since middle of February. We thought, maybe by the end of the month, we'll see some.
I know.
Anyway. All right. You enjoy the weekend. Go Bucks. And we will talk golf again next week.
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf. Remember, if you want to advertise on Wisconsin.Golf or in the Wisconsin.Golf yearbook or Killarney Golf Media, their twice a year publication, Golf Time Midwest, just give a shout out to our marketing director, Megan Augustine. It's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at Killarney Golf Media. And she'll connect you with all of our options that we have to promote your product or your service in front of a captive audience of golf enthusiasts that follow us here at Wisconsin.golf. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.